Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Today is a special day worth living.
Bishop Haralambos is a Greek Orthodox bishop whose ordination name translates from the Greek to be Happy Light. Bishop Hara, or Happy, will welcome us each morning with an uplifting message of exhortation, bringing us together for wisdom, knowledge, Bible prophecy, and current events, reviewing past prophecies aired on the radio years ago in a Nostradamus fashion. The program will contain miracles, newspaper quotes, and Holy Scripture readings relating to the end times.
Come receive the light in God's Kafenion. This is Bishop Haralambos. From now on, you can just call me Bishop Hara, and our program will be coming to you
with treasure stories about our Lord every Sunday morning at 9:30.
Good morning, brothers, sisters in Christ. Today is a very, very interesting program, but before I'd like to preclude it with some remarks that to help you better understand what you're hearing in regards to faith and the faith-only issue. The thing that divides the Christian church today, probably in two parts, is based on the words in Scripture that say faith, that you come to Christ and know Christ and you're saved by faith only. And that's one segment. And then the second segment are those more on the primitive early church that say you're saved by faith and good works, as it says in the Gospel of James, the Epistle of James, that faith without good works is not faith at all. And basically, that's your division. And unfortunately, it takes the responsibility away from a Christian who comes to Christ and says, well, I don't have to do anymore, I'm saved. Where on the other end, we have the primitive church, or the first church, that believes in the Holy Eucharist and the body and blood of Christ, that says, no, it's an ongoing theosis. In other words, that you need to dress yourself constantly in confession. After all, it is, and very importantly, in Scripture saying that salvation comes by repentance. And repentance, of course, is an ongoing thing because we sin constantly. All of us are, none of us really are perfect, and all of us sin. So therefore, the Eucharist and the weekly Eucharist, as Christ said himself, to do it often. He said, this is my body, this is my blood, drink it often. And of course, he knew that in the course of the Holy Spirit, translating it to the body, the real body and blood of Christ from wine and bread, makes it a method to obviously confess and repent. So there you have the two divisions of the church. I prefer to go with faith and good works. But most of the Protestant churches say by faith only, and you're on your own, you have no responsibility. We both know that sin has its consequences, and consequences come, and we know that the Lord said something very important about that, that you reap what you sow. Now hear the tape, and I hope you enjoy it in this week's broadcast. God bless you.
Thank you once again, brothers and sisters in Christ, for listening to us. As you know, we're doing the miracle prayer of the Hail Mary and also the Our Father. And in your hearts, repeat it three times, but we will remind you of what it is.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
and deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power to come, now and forever, to all ages, to all ages. Today we're going to discuss some issues that are theological. We know that Christ died once for us, and that's important to understand the theology that has been sort of divided into two sections, that Christ has died once, and that it's not necessary to repeat that, and he died for our sins, of course, and really for the resurrection of man, or the possibility of man attaining what God would have him do. Of course, forgiveness of all sins, and Christ bore that. Now, that's a very, how do I say it, inundated message that all of us understand. But let's get into some theology here this morning, and I'd like for you to listen very attentively as you're repeating the Our Father and the Hail Mary yourselves, so you complete the threefold times, as we said, 9 weeks for a miracle to happen in your life. Now, I'm always perplexed when I always hear someone say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and it's by faith I am saved. Well, there's been an important word that's been added that has changed the theology of the first primitive church, that they say faith only. And of course, Scripture, Holy Scripture, is in conflict with that statement. It's not by faith only. Faith is the beginning and the ongoing, very important happening that happens to a Christian accepting Christ is a theosis, the theology and a proper application of theosis in their life, so that they can, so God Himself can attain a, how do I say it, an improvement upon you as you accept Christ and you go on your journey without the guilt and without the consequences of sin. Christ died for us once and for all. And that's why you always get challenged, I think, in the theology and orthodoxy, because they say, why do you take communion again and again and again? Well, here is in that lies the difference. So I will read some scripture and make everyone try to follow me, I hope. It says in scripture, Hebrews, it said, for Christ has entered into heaven itself, to appear now before God as our friend. It was not in the earthly place of worship that he did this, for that was merely a copy of the real temple in heaven. Nor has he offered himself again and again, as a high priest down here on earth offers animal blood on the Holy of Holies each year. If that had been necessary, then he would have to have died again and again, ever since the world began. But no, he came once for all, at the end of the age, to put away the power of sin forever by dying for us. And just as it is determined and destined that man die only once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ died only once as an offering for the sins of many people, and he will come again, but not to deal again with our sins. This time he will come bringing salvation to all those who are eagerly and patiently waiting for him. I don't believe anybody argues with that statement, but here comes in lies the conflict. So Jesus said again, and this is in the Gospel of John. So Jesus said it again, with all the earnestness I possess, I tell you this, unless you eat of the flesh of the Messiah and drink the blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who does eat my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is the true food and my blood is the true drink. Everyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood is in me and I in him. I live by the power of the living Father who sent me, and in the same way those who partake of me shall live because of me. I am the true bread from heaven, and anyone who eats the bread shall live forever, and not die as your fathers did when they ate bread from heaven. He preached this sermon in the synagogue in Capernaum. Of course, his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. Who can tell what he means? But Jesus knew within himself that his disciples were complaining and said to them, does this offend you? Then what would you think of when you see me, the Messiah, return to heaven again? Only the Holy Spirit gives eternal life. Now, therein lies the issue of theosis. The taking and why we partake and why the Orthodox Church has such a profound, centrist theme constantly of the Eucharist, the Eucharistic Holy Service that we call liturgy, the Holy Liturgy, is the process of theosis. I believe that if Christ did indeed died once for our sins, then why do we have to take communion? Well, it's the acknowledgement that Christ is working in your life and the renewal of your spirit and sort of, the lifeblood of your spirit as Christ is in you and you are in Him, because you believe in the transfiguration and the work and the power of the Holy Spirit making the body and blood of Christ. Otherwise, He wouldn't even had this passage. It would have been not necessary to even read John, the Gospel of John, making reference to communion. And therein lies a conflict, I think, with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's a sad one, because why not have it all? Why not, I mean, why just have one? Why just say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm born again, and I'm already saved? Well, because obviously you need that ongoing experience of renewing yourself in the theosis of bettering yourself, because otherwise, if Christ doesn't have an active participation with you, yes, once He died for your sins, and once is enough. It's not like the Judaic religion where the priests constantly shed blood in order for the sins of the people. Christ died once. He removed the guilt. You're no longer guilty. God has saved you by what? By sacrificing Himself on the cross. That's a wonderful, wonderful concept. And we should have that ingrained in our spirits. But does that mean we're perfect? No. Does that mean we won't pay for our sins? No. Because He is a just God. But it does mean that if you will work with Him and keep working with Him, which is almost a profound, confession, because when you confess that you believe that it's the body and blood of Christ, what you're saying is you don't deny the Holy Spirit. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is what makes the transfiguration. Not the fact that the priest does it, and not because the words are said over it. So let me move on a little bit and tell you why I don't believe that faith only is the proper interpretation of the Scripture. And you find that in James, when it says that clearly, dear brothers, what's the use of saying that you have faith and are Christians? You see, once you believe and take on the personal relationship with Christ, you call yourself a Christian. And James warns us. He says, whether you are doing what Christ wants you to do. So, watch what you do and what you think. For there will be no mercy to those who have shown no mercy, and to those who have shown no mercy. But if you have been merciful, then God's mercy towards you will win out over His judgment against you. And here comes the real issue. Dear brothers, what's the use of saying that you have faith and are Christians if you aren't proving it by helping others? Will that kind of faith save anyone? If you have a friend who is in need of food and clothing, and you say to him, well, goodbye and God bless you, stay warm and hearty, and then don't give him clothes or food, what good does that do? So you see, and here's the emphasis I'd like to put in what's being said today, so you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. So that discounts, as far as I'm concerned, a Christian who says he wants an inactive life, an ongoing presence with Christ, and just say, well, I have faith and believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I don't intend to do very much because, you know, I have kids to take care of. Or you might say, I have a family to feed. Or you may say, well, I have a business to run. Or you may say, I'm a dean of a college. Or you may say, you have activity in this life, and you have faith, and you have this one-time commitment to Christ, therefore nothing else is necessary. You see, therein lies what I think, you know, when you have a tooth pulled, you go to the dentist, and he numbs the gum so you don't feel anything. And out comes the tooth. I think that's a theology that numbs us and makes us very insensitive to God's work in using you for others. And so it can't be saved by faith only. It also says in Scripture, so you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. So where did the word faith only come? That almost discharges any responsibility we have in life towards our brothers and sisters and towards the work of God to begin with. So you see, it isn't enough that you have faith. You must also do good to prove you have it. Now, does that mean that we're judged by our works? No. It means that out of your heart and the fact that you've accepted Christ, you're demonstrating. You're showing almost, it's like a picture of your heart and how it works with God. You see, to have the faith by yourself and only yourself and not share it with others, evangelizing, and having faith enough and not doing works for God, not so that you can be saved, The works aren't being done to be saved. It's the results of being saved. It's the Holy Spirit working in you and almost forcing you so you have peace of mind in order to prove and fruit for the Lord. So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. You must also do good to prove that you have it. Faith that doesn't show itself by good works is no faith at all. Therein lies the theological problem in the Christian church. They have a lot of projects. We have a lot of things that are going on in all the churches. That's not what I'm talking about. It's God's personal work with you. It's God. You see, your heart belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to an organization. It doesn't belong to a church that you have membership in. It belongs to God. And if God has died for your sins, He owns you. You're His. So He will put you in a place, maybe, which isn't first, second, or third choice in your own mind. But He will put you to work for Him to produce fruit for Him. And therein lies the issue that James, I think, the apostle, was trying to say. So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. You must also do good to prove that you have it. Faith that doesn't show itself by good works is no faith at all. It is dead and useless. Can you imagine God saying you're useless? And you said, and yet you've said, I believe in Jesus Christ and He's my Savior. And so I'm saved. But say God's saying something here. But you have to have a process going with me. You have to be working with me. You have to be showing fruit with me and for me. Because that's what I want done and expect from you. And you believe by the power of the Holy Spirit that you're moving in that direction. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I think that it's so important to understand that and why in the Orthodox faith we really honestly believe something rather unique. We believe that it's a profession and a confession constantly when you come before the altar and confess the words that Christ said to His apostles, you must eat my flesh, you must drink my blood. And I think we do it in a not cleaner, but more respectful way. We just don't hand it out to everybody because they're in the congregation. That's wrong. You see, unless you're in Christ and born again, and I've noticed in many churches, they have sermons and they ask people to come forth and confess Christ. And that very same sermon, they're giving everybody communion. Well, see, that's really wrong. See, unless you're in the process, unless you've confessed Christ, unless you believe that it is His blood and His body, unless you have enjoined yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit in you, then you're taking it for nothing. In fact, as Paul warned in Corinthians, you're taking it to damnation to yourself. It's not good to take it. So if that's the case, then there must be a greater meaning. So why all the different theologies that we have? Well, I think it's like almost like in degrees. It's almost like, rank in Christianity, which there is none. It's almost like how much can you absorb, how much can your spirit understand and believe? In other words, you might just believe in this level, higher level, still higher level. Why? Because that's why God uses every one of us as a vessel. Some He can use as brass, some He uses silver, some He uses as gold. And I think that's all dependent upon how deep their relationship is. It's how committed you are to God in this life. Are you just going to go through this life, well, maintaining a level that you think satisfies God so you can still call yourself a Christian? Or are you going to commit yourself beyond mother, father, sister, brother, wife, husband? Are you going to commit yourself beyond because you feel this strong calling for God? You see, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be happy completely unless you what? You answer to the call of God in your life. And many of us, really ignore the fact because we see others so profoundly dedicated to the Lord. They've just given their lives just like you have. They still believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. But look at the level activity of their constant. That's why I always admire monks. Monks have given it all to God. They've left family. They enter into a monastery. And what do? They pray day and night, minute by minute, second by second, for the work of Christ and the bride of Christ, the church. They actually pray for the church. And yet out here, we have this activity in the world. And didn't God say time and time and time again, be not concerned with the affairs of this world? Because it will block your mind. It'll block your spirit. It'll prevent His flow. It'll prevent the flow of His power coming to you. And if your mind can't control the body, that's what it's for. I mean, the mind is the creative. I mean, we're supposed to have the mind of Christ, and we're supposed to maintain and be in the body of Christ, as it says, mind, body, and spirit. We have all those, which I think is maintained in your soul, which is the bowl of all life itself, as those ingredients are in there. I think it's important to know that there's a blockage with the concerns of this world. And certainly I experienced most recently, and I prayed to God. I said, oh, Lord, I'm just so tired of that responsibility and that particular blessing You gave me or I got for myself and You allowed it to happen. I don't know which, but it's certainly blocking me now for the work that I have to do for You. And God answered real simple. And like a child, I accepted it. He said, oh, well, you're following what I said. You're not concerned with the affairs of this world. So why don't you get rid of this concern? So I just very politely said, I don't care about it anymore. I think I'll take a key and close the door. So it costs me money. So what? Well, it wasn't until I said that. And the very next day, I'm thinking, well, God, I want to get rid of this concern. I don't believe in being involved this much where it bothers me in the concerns of this world. I'm involved. The very next day, four people, no less, out of nowhere, hadn't put a for sale sign yet, came and wanted to buy this concern in my life that was dragging me down away from my work for the Lord. Four people, four doors open. And God said, okay, let me see how much wisdom you've retained from me working with you. Which one will you choose? Well, I had friends that were one, and they were going to come in and fix it up and blah, blah, blah. I had another one that was long range. I said, no, Lord, I don't think I want to go 30 more days with this. And God said, well, let's see. Which one will give you 30 days? That means what? In order to sacrifice money for my availability to the Lord, I had to discount at least 25% of what I could believe to be a fair value. But it was worth more to me to get rid of that concern than the 25%. I weighed it and I said, my life with you and my peace of mind is worth every penny. I'm buying it, if you can say it that way. And if I had waited, who's to say that it would actually come along? And sure enough, contracts were signed. Every time I would say something that I knew they would refuse, they accepted it. And so it went on and on and on and on to finally that concern is behind me. I pray and hope, but I've got three more backups that if this first one doesn't go, I am sure one of them will happen. Now let me get back on target with this faith alone. What I just told you is nothing to brag about. It was a mistake to be involved. But you know what? As God blesses you and you pick up these concerns and mistakes that take you away from your work with the Lord, especially if He's called you. See, all of us aren't called to the same degree. And there's nothing wrong with being a great dad and a great friend and a great brother. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're called, you cannot escape it. You will never be satisfied, even if you have brother or sister or family, even if you have other investments in life that you don't want to give up. The calling of God will never cease because you belong to Him to begin with, if you're a Christian. Now, of course, if you're Islam and you're in a different ballpark, then it doesn't really make any difference because you don't believe Allah is not our God and Abraham is not our Messiah. And as far as I'm concerned, that is a pure, and I've told you this many times on this program, imitation. It came 600 years after Christ. They believe Christ is a prophet. So what? He's God in the flesh. He's not a prophet. He was God in flesh. He was more than a prophet. And in fact, their resurrection of their Muhammad Messiah came 600 years later. It's a perfect replica that, as far as I'm concerned, it was the good work certainly the profound work, it's the fastest growing religion, I've said it before, of the enemy. Illusory came up with a substitute. And to me, it's an antichristo. It's an instead of Christ. I don't have anything against the Islam faith. They believe in monotheistic God called Allah. And so does Judaism for that reason. But they all reject Christ as being the Messiah and being God in the flesh. And therefore, there's just absolutely no room for me to deal with them or to be a part of them. I wish them well. I hope someday they come to their senses and realize, you know, that they're not going to overtake the world. Christ will, if nothing else, is going to maintain 144,000 that are going to live profoundly dedicated to him. Because the world will decay, so to speak, the faith. You know, I think that that's the sad part of all of this, is that as humanity weakens its position with the Lord, that it definitely will require him to return himself to straighten out the mess. But he gave us a chance. He took care of the Adam sin. And he took care of the Eve sin. He took care of sin. We have no reason to be guilty, but we have every reason to question in our lives, how are we living? Is our faith producing? It's not enough, and that's why you do need, I believe, in Holy Liturgy, and I believe the Orthodox Church profoundly emphasizes this in their liturgy, that you do need that rejuvenation every week. I mean, you have to. You know, we even sleep every night, and it's good to sleep 8 hours. Some of us can get away with less, but you do need that rejuvenation. And I believe the belief in that transfiguration of Holy Spirit work in wine to blood is believing in Christ. It's a confession in Christ, no different than at the wedding feast when Christ made the wine, or actually the water into wine. That was his first demonstration, believe in me. I am God. I am the Messiah. I'm man and I'm God. My fulfillment will be done. And he always recognized the throne. And therein, again, lies another sermon, the interpretation of the Trinity, how it works. In simple terms, God manifests himself in three ways. They're not separate. And so, therefore, you have to understand the fact that God comes in form of the Holy Spirit. God comes in the throne that you can't see, and of course God came and revealed himself through Jesus Christ. All three manifestations belong to the one same triune monotheistic God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may you have my blessings, and this is Archbishop saying good day to you. Amen and amen.
It's important that I tell you St. Michael Academy of Eschatology is sponsoring this program. It is a Bible seminary, an Orthodox Bible seminary, and it's under the State of Florida Board of Education and of Colleges. Profoundly, it's right in our midst for you to learn. Please, you can write St. Michael Academy to enter into anywhere from the associate program to the doctorate program. All approved by the State of Florida in its curriculum. Post Office Box 7007, West Palm Beach, Florida 33405. I also want to have a feedback from my beautiful listeners. You can reach me, your Bishop Harold Ambos, or Bishop Harry, or Bishop Happy, at msn.com, Archangel Michael, low caps, Archangel Michael, A-R-C-H-A-N-G-E-L, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, one word, at msn.com. I'm waiting to hear from you for any subject matter in theology or philosophy that we can speak about on this program. It's important I let you also know that my qualifications are a PhD in both theology and philosophy. God bless you.